Hello, everybody. Welcome to Life Splaining. So we are back. It is late April 2020. We're still in our quarantine with the whole Corona COVID-19. And today, this week's podcast, I'm bringing Margaret back. I think we're going to make this a permanent thing because she's really funny. So we got a lot of good feedback. So we brought Margaret back, another phone interview. Again, I know it's not ideal, but it's the best that we have. But it's wonderful. We kind of pick up where we left off last week. We're talking a little bit about dating. We talk a little bit about current environment, what's on Netflix, important shit like that. And we talk about some of our own, you know, past history and some of the fun jokes and things that happened in our earlier days. But anyways, nonetheless, I got Margaret back. I'm really, really, really excited. I think she's really funny. Everybody's told me the same thing. So I'm really happy about all that. I like all the feedback I'm getting is fantastic. So thank you to everybody for doing that. And again, this is a really, 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 really good opportunity. Guys, if you ever want to know what it's like dating an older chick, you know, this is the opportunity. If you ever want the inside scoop, now is your opportunity. We kind of get, you know, it's actually funny, joking aside, we do kind of get in a little bit of the sort of the deep emotional stuff about dating a single mom, an elderly woman like her. So anyways, it's all good. It's really funny. Guys, I'm glad you're listening. Here we go. On with the show. Thank you.
Sounds like you fucked up.
No, okay. That's impossible. Okay, stop cussing because we're live.
Okay, sorry.
All right, all right. So, guys, welcome back. Margaret, we made it through another week. Enough people liked, or actually should say loved episode 10 that they wanted more. They're like, I was getting emails back and forth, and they're like, dude, we need more of that hilarious girl in our life. What can we
do? No, you didn't. You liar.
No. But here's the thing. Like, every time I get an email, like, I don't like to dwell on it, so I delete them right away. You know? So
yeah, I feel you. I'm the same way.
Yeah, especially the emails that I send. Actually, you know, that's interesting. Do you ever reread emails that you sent? Like the next day? Like I'm going to give this guy a piece of my mind. And you send an email, and the next day, do you reread it?
I do that with text messages, dude, especially if they haven't responded. I'm like, what did I say that was wrong? Or, like, did I spell something wrong?
Or is it that, or are you more like, no, dude, like I was epic. I said some crazy cool stuff, and this guy hasn't responded, so I got to know about why he hasn't responded. Is it more like that?
Yeah, I'm like, I'll send, like, a receipt. Request. Are you sure you didn't receive this?
So I sent you a pretty cool text the other day and I haven't gotten a response, so clearly you're having phone issues.
Oh, okay, so you're gonna leave me unread. Okay. I see what we're doing now.
Oh man. Okay, so all right, so we do need to pick up where we left off from last week because we had some cliffhangers. And we'll definitely get to the story, the infamous story. But I think since we're gonna have you like as a co-host pretty much indefinitely or until like you like have enough of it, like I think we should give our listeners little bit.
What? That's awesome. Yeah.
So I think
I'm hyped.
I think we need to give the listeners a little bit of a background about a little bit more like they kind of got a little bit of the Margie and like episode 10. They're like, yeah, she's kind of cool. You know, like she's spunky, like she's pretty cute. Like, well, at least she was 7 years ago, but like she's pretty, you know, funny and all that stuff. But I think we need to give them more to sink their teeth into. So how about we spend just a few minutes, like really just getting into depth about like where, what defines Margie besides like, bringing everybody bean and cheese tacos in the morning.
I mean, shit, that there it is right there. You know, that's all that I am about is bean and cheese tacos. And, well, wait, chips and salsa. Don't get me wrong. Chips and salsa.
Right. So, all right. So, my wife, Amy, when she bought her first house in San Antonio, her realtor was from, I think she might have been like legit Mexican or from Guatemala. Maybe Mexico. Wow. No, she might have been from Mexico. And and Amy was asking her about Mexican food and whatnot. And she was complaining about how there's no real Mexican food in San Antonio. And Amy asked her, she says, well, how do you know if it's authentic Mexican food? And Amy laughed at the way she said it, but she goes, the yellow cheese. So, like, yellow cheese is what she meant to say. But, like, in Mexico,
wow.
In Mexico, milk is white. And so the cheese is therefore white. So they don't have yellow cheese in Mexico.
Yeah, yeah. what's that crumbled cheese? There's a crumbled cheese.
That would be called queso fresco.
Ah, yes. That's so amazing, dude.
Well, there's so many different kinds. So, like, there's actually, you know what? There's different kinds. There's the queso fresco, which is like the moist, fresh, kind of like mildly spunky cheese. And then there's like the dry.
That sounds like me.
Yes.
Like you just described me.
Fresh, moist, and slightly spunky.
Mild.
Mild. Yeah. Mild. Dude. So I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but like you're, to me, you strike me as the kind of girl that, like, if shit went south, like if I was your boyfriend or if you had a boyfriend and shit went south, like he could very easily expect to find you throwing all of his shit out on the lawn and probably lighting it on fire. Does that sound about right?
That's, I mean, 110% correct. His shit's going to be on the lawn.
Yeah.
His tires may be flat. I mean, I don't know how that happened, but,
So slashing tires. So let me ask you, like, because every woman has a different threshold. What would be your threshold for a guy for you to slash his tires and, like, you know, throw all the shit on the lawn, like complain about your cooking? What would be the threshold? Where would be the line?
The threshold, I think, would be like surprise children. You know,
that's it. That's
wait.
Pretty high. That is like the farthest, like, that's what's after that, like like what could possibly be after, like, surprise children?
Oh god, that's a tough one. Dude, like,
you got a pretty high threshold if, like, the most like he can do
everything. I can tolerate a lot, that's for sure.
Well, it goes to show how easygoing you are, right? So, like, we talked about, like, in the last show, like, you know, when you're like, what do you look for in a guy and all that? And you're like, he's got to be, you know, he's got to have a smile and he's got to make you laugh. So, like, it's clear that, you know, you've got to have somebody that, like, that you have a sense of humor and that, like, that
for you look, sure.
Yeah. So, like, all right. So there's that. Okay. So surprise children, shit on the lawn. Got it. Good. All right.
Don't be springing up some son or some daughter, you know, 4 years into the relationship. No, sir.
All right. So,
that's
okay.
An automatic slash to the tires.
Okay. So we talked. So you're a single mom. You're somewhere in your, like, in your late 20s, early 30s, but probably more like early 40s. And then you have. I just turned
29. That, although
no,
some people may believe it,
no,
you know.
No, you did not turn 29.
I turned 39 during quarantine.
Oh, when was your birthday?
Wow, Leonard. Okay. April 6th.
Oh, happy belated birthday,
Margie.
Co-hosts
are supposed to know these things.
Well, I do now. I mean, now that there's a record. But congratulations. happy birthday. Wow, that's
Thanks.
Exciting. Did you do anything fun?
Yeah, I watched a movie and had some popcorn.
What movie did you watch?
We watched Dark Knight Rises.
Okay, so Batman, one of the Batman ones.
Batman, yeah, I'm not into that.
With Heath Ledger?
I can't get into that. Sorry, but I watched it. You know, I tolerated it.
What do you like to watch besides like junk TV? We talked about like junk or reality TV, but what kind of movies do you like?
I like docuseries. I enjoy. I'm not into, you know, the love stories and whatnot. I don't feel like crying. I like comedy for okay. sure. Comedy.
Okay. Okay. But docuseries are typically more historical, right?
Yeah, definitely. I love history. Oh, Ancient Aliens.
That's a cool. I like that show. Okay. So right now I'm like, I'm like level with you. I'm like yes. Like I like the Ancient Alien stuff, even though some of it's kind of bullshit. Mm-hmm. But and then I really like
Doctor. The dude is cheesy.
Yeah. So have you seen Chernobyl on HBO?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yeah. That's really, really interesting. I really enjoy that show.
I absolutely love historical documentaries or even movies that are sort of filmed in sort of period mm-hmm. correct kind of thing. Amy makes fun of me all the time, but there's a movie about a race car driver, Niki Lauda, called Rush. It's a Ron Howard movie, and it's a phenomenal movie about two Formula One drivers, race car drivers. And one of the guys is apparently he's a really attractive fellow. I can't remember his name. I can't believe it.
I need to watch it then.
Yeah, it's the guy that plays Thor. What's his name? Blonde guy. He's from Australia. Oh, what the hell is his name? Anyways, whatever. I'm sure there's a bunch of women just like banging in their phones. Completely.
Hemsworth?
Yes, Hemsworth.
Bingo. Yeah, for sure.
Is he cute? Do you think he's cute?
I think he's drop dead gorgeous. I think he's. Yeah. Cute does not describe him yet, but we're on to something.
Okay. Got it. Check. Okay. So he and Niki Lauda, it's this German or Austrian actor who plays this race car driver. Anyway, it's a great movie, but it's a Ron Howard movie and it's very gritty. And it's almost like, even though it's filmed in high def, you can like, it almost looks like if it was filmed in the 70s. And so I just love it. Every time it's on TV, I have to watch it. Yeah, it's really, really great. It's a true story. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit sensationalized, but it's all like Ron Howard-y. So it's very, very cool. Mm-hmm. So I love those things. And then that Chernobyl, like when I watch it, it looks like the 80s. Like I watch it, I'm like, God, that looks so much like what I remember as a kid. And from what, you know, it just looked 80s. It just looked very, 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 very good. So I really like those. And then another one, do you have Netflix?
Yes.
So another one that I like is The Last Tsar. And it's about Tsar Nicholas, basically the last royalty in Russia before it became the Soviet Union. And it's primarily about Tsar Nicholas and then this guy named Rasputin, which everybody knows is like this Russian mystic priest of some kind. But apparently he had like a big giant penis and he was banging like all of the royals in Russia, like all their wives. So,
I haven't even seen this one.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, writing this down.
That's on my watch list now.
Yeah, it's a... So the last Tsar, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I don't want to spoiler alert, but Rasputin gets killed, but like they try and drug him and he doesn't die by being drugged or poisoned, doesn't die by that. They shoot him and that doesn't work. They wrap him in a body bag and they dump him in this like freezing cold river. And when they find his body, like he was like frozen solid, like trying to climb out of the bag. And like he was so, he was so well known in Russia. I don't know if this is true or not, so I could be wrong. But he was so well known in Russia for what he did. They cut off his penis to put it on display because he apparently had like a massive dong, which I don't know. Like that sounds kind of gross to me. Yeah, but that's like, I mean, if you're sitting in a history class and paying attention, they'll cover that.
That is crazy, dude. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they use like, you know, his private part to like make molds of like dildos or something.
Dude, are you serious? We never know, right? Are you serious? We're going there?
Okay. No, okay, we shouldn't. No. We shouldn't. This is a family show.
Not yet. Kid show. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. So anyways, more about all right, so a little bit more. All right, so you're
you're 39. Hold on, let's take a little pause real quick. So we're talking about like all the Netflix shows, and like I know a lot of people are home, you know, working from home and in quarantine right now. So there's like a lot of shows that people are raving about right now on Netflix, Amazon Prime, HBO, and you know, all those other all those other streamers. So have you like come across a show that you enjoy, that you like to watch,
so we just,
that you have been hooked on during quarantine?
Yes. Well, obviously Tiger King was like a train wreck. It was like a train wreck with like gay dildos flying all over the place. Like it was, it's just a total mind fuck, because it's like, so Tiger King is one of them. Everybody knows. And yes, Carol Baskin killed her husband and fed her the fucking tigers. Like that's for sure.
Okay. So pause. Do you really think she fed him to the tigers?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, allegedly.
That's like some shit that I would do. Like, don't give me no tiger farm.
So we need to cover. So here's what I think. Like, okay, so like here's something that we need to cover. Like, I don't know. Even I, coming from Mexico, I don't know a lot of the folklore that like a lot of like the northern Mexicans or people from like native Texans, like the whole thing about like, so Vicks. Yes, I grew up with Vicks. Vicks was a cure all. Yes, if you ask me. If anybody gets the coronas, it's because they didn't put Vicks on their chest. But like, I don't know about the egg under the bed. Do you know about this? Can you explain?
No.
Oh, you don't know that
I've
either?
Never. I don't think that's ever been done to me. Not that I can recall. But I've seen a YouTube video of it being done on this young boy, and the grandma is over there with an egg, rubbing him up and down. That sounds a little sexual,
no. So what I understand is they rub you with an egg, and then they put the egg in a bowl of water and they put it under your bed, and then like if you wake up in the morning and it's floating, it's cleansed you of the evil demons or some shit like that.
Yeah. But I've also heard like if there's like red coming out of the egg or some, I don't know. That's just really weird to me. I thought you would know more about it since you're more.
Fuck no! Are you serious?
Mexican than I.
I am, but like, so first of all, like, yeah, I am, but I also like, no, I don't know anything about that shit. I really don't. Like, seriously, like, I come from the family of like, if you were hurt, and this is terrible because it's like everybody that's listening, like in the '80s, like if something hurt or bothered you, you fucking walked it off, and if you complained. You were made fun of and ridiculed and embarrassed until you like stopped being a pussy and then walked it off. And so like,
yeah, for sure.
And that's fucking terrible. Like that's absolutely terrible. That's why like people go crazy and kill their families. But anyways, so that's a different story. All right. So let's back it
up. That's a different episode.
That's a different episode. Let's back it up. So Netflix. So,
okay. So Tiger King.
Tiger King for sure.
You watched it?
I watched it. Absolutely crazy, but she definitely killed her husband. No, do you think?
I heard there was a new episode.
There was a couple more episodes. Eh. All right, so full disclosure, my biggest problem now is like, I don't come home from work, but I you know, after work, my daughter and I go for bike rides. I ride around the neighborhood. I put a cup holder on my bicycle that like holds a koozie, and so I drink beer while I ride my bike. So.
I saw that. That's so awesome.
It's so I get a little bit of exercise, but I also get my happy hour all at the same time. So it's like it's kind of
a balance. I like that.
It's balance. That's the balance life right there. It's all about that balance. And so like it's a win-win. And then I typically cook dinner, and that'll take me about 30 minutes, maybe an hour, depending if I'm making something fancy. So I'll cook dinner.
Leonard, you're kidding me. Those dinners. Those dinners are like made for kings and queens. You cannot tell me that takes 30 minutes.
If some of them really take 30 minutes. Some take maybe they take an hour, but a lot of them are very fast. Like those pasta ones are very fast. Yes, but thank you though. Thank you.
Wow, that's amazing.
I might need to do I've been told that I need to do a cooking show on YouTube, and I'm like, that.
You should.
You know, then people will really see how much I do.
I can model some shrimp off for you. Or some noodles.
This is the shrimp. So anyways, so I'll cook dinner, then we'll eat, and then we give our daughter a bath, we read to her, and then she goes to bed. And so that's about 9:30 when like the child is asleep. And then like if I have enough energy to watch TV, I rarely make it past like 5 or 10 minutes and then I'm asleep. Like, so most of the evenings I fall asleep watching TV. That's just what happens. I don't know why, I don't know what it is, but like.
I think it's because of that bottle of wine that you have with your buffet.
I think you need to watch your fucking, mind your fucking business. That's what I think. Let me start with that. It's fucking. Back up on the fucking judgment, all right?
I didn't put you on the air to judge me, ho.
Yeah. No. I get up at around 5:30. So by 9:30, after doing all that shit, bike riding, cooking, eating, and yes, I might imbibe one or two small glasses of wine. Fine. All that being said,
right.
I'm still entitled to be sleepy after doing all that shit for fucking 18 hours. So, but that being said, I more often than not fall asleep watching TV. That's the point of what I was trying to say, long and short of it.
Gotcha. Okay, so then, aside from Tiger King, what other show have you watched or been glued to?
We just finished watching Waco. Have you seen that?
Shut up. I heard about that one. I haven't started that at all.
So we did the Ozark, obviously. We did Better Call Saul, obviously.
That one, okay, Ozark was amazing. It's not plural, right?
Yeah.
Ozark,
yeah, it's singular. Ending, the ending of the season, totally predictable. I knew that was going to happen, but the way they did it, awesome. Fantastic.
Oh my God, Ruth is my hero, dude. I don't care. I don't care. Like, so, Ruth is my hero.
So Ruth is hilarious, but she's also She's also in Waco.
Like smart.
She's in Waco, and she doesn't have that southern accent, and she's not all rednecky. So Ruth.
What?
Yes. So watch Waco. You can do it in two nights. It's like 6 episodes. It's about David Koresh.
Yes. That's kind of like that little... So last episode you were talking about how Zachary took you out to a ranch or a farm or something like that. And I had asked you, was it like kind of like Davidians? Mm. Was it like a David Koresh type of deal?
Well, the first ones kind of were. Well, not like that, but like... So we would go to this one ranch that was over right on the border of Texas and Mexico. And it was a ranch.
Yikes.
But it was a ranch.
Were you at home? Did you feel like you were at home?
So real quick. All right. So here's the thing. So I moved to the United States when I was about 5 or 6. Now, when you're 5 or 6, things that you're taught, you take very literal. So like, I'll give you an example. My grandfather, my mom's father, was the most amazing man in the world. And he died when I was about 6 or 7. And everybody that knew him says that he was the greatest man in the entire world. Like, he was the most loving, most caring. And everybody I know would say all these amazing stories. Like, he'd be walking home from work and he would meet somebody. Maybe it was like at the barbershop or he'd stop at a bar for a drink. He would meet a complete stranger and he would invite strangers over to dinner night. Yes. My grandmother always knew that she had to make extra because, you know, my grandfather might bring home a guest, like, you know, like a perfect stranger. Like, my grandfather didn't know a stranger. He loved everybody and everybody. So, like, you hear all these stories as a 6-year-old, and this was also the time that I was going to Catholic school. So I was learning about Jesus and all that other shit. And so I didn't know. Like, I thought, and this is the genuine truth, I swear to God, I thought when I was learning, they were telling you stories about Jesus and all that stuff. I thought they were talking about my grandfather.
And no. So, yeah. Dude, shut up.
I swear to God. And so, like, I drew this direct parallel. Like, oh, well, yeah. Like he loved everybody. Like, he, no matter what they did in life, no matter what happened, he had zero enemies. He was, you know, he invited everybody over to dinner. And at any time, if he was ever invited to somebody's house, he never showed up empty-handed. He always brought wine. He turned water into wine. So, like...
Awesome. So he was breaking bread with everybody, dude.
He was. And so, like... And I also kind of think to myself, I was like, you know, do you really need religion in that sense, or do you need, like, a grandpa? Like, is that what you... Like, because in my mind, I'm like, well, I want to be just like him. Like, I want that. That's why I cook. That's why I put dinner... Like, I want to be... Like, that's a role model. And so, anyways... So I think that was kind of interesting.
You're like raising your hand in theology and you're like, I know him.
Yeah, exactly.
I know him. Like, yeah, I just saw him yesterday.
Well, and the thing is also, he had also died right in that same year as I was going to Catholic school. So like, it was also part of like, and maybe it was kind of intertwined with the whole, you know, resurrection and all this other stuff. And maybe I was, anyways, for whatever reason, I always associate my grandfather with Jesus Christ. So like, And actually, I think that's probably the way you want to be. Like, you know, forget about all the you know, Old Testament stuff. And think about, like, you know, instead of being Christian, but being more like Christ-like, what would that look like? What would that be? So,
it's kind of like those bracelets that we used to wear, right? WWJD. What would Jesus do?
Yeah, but... That also gave people a lot of right to judge people. Like Jesus, he would judge the shit out of you. That's what he would do.
Jesus loves me. I didn't even know you went to private school.
Yeah. All right. So full disclosure. So I started.
That was in Mexico?
No, that was the United States. All right. Okay. So I started school in Mexico City. We moved to the United States, and then I was like five. I was around five. And my mom couldn't handle me. Like, I started talking really young. They said I started talking like when I was 6 months. I think that's bullshit. It was probably more like around 9 months. But, like, I had older siblings. My brother and sister were 7 and 9 years older than me. So I started talking really young. And my mom kind of just, like, needed some space. And it's like, he has got to go to school. And so when we moved to the United States, she tried to put me in first grade, but I was too young. So she put me in like several different schools. And I remember as a kid, I thought I got kicked out of them. And I probably did because I don't exactly color inside of the lines. So I got kicked out of a lot of schools. I got kicked out of a lot of like first grade schools. And then in Mexico City, like we were going to, it was called the American school, but it was a private school in Mexico City. And the reality of it is, I guess my mom thought I had to be going to private school, but the public schools in the United States are really good. So anyways, I ended up in first grade public school and it was great. So first grade, it was a wonderful public school. And then they told my mom, because he's only, I think I was maybe five or six. They said, we have to hold him back. He can't go to second grade because he's too young. And my mom says, like, well, all right. Well, as long as he's not learning, as long as you're teaching him new shit and he's not learning, like, how to write his fucking name again, because then he'll just be a pain in the ass at home because you're going to bore the shit out of him. As long as you're teaching him new shit, then that's fine. So I failed first grade. They held me back because I was too young. And So I had to repeat first grade, and my mom had me in first grade for like maybe 4 or 5 weeks, and she realized, like, these lazy motherfuckers are teaching you the same shit. So they're like, nope, I got to take him out of the school because you're teaching, like, he's wasting his time. He's going to be terrible at home if all you're doing is the same shit you just spent the whole first, like, all of last year doing. He's going to be a fucking nightmare at home. So my mom took me to private school. So she had me go to a couple of different private schools, and then I went to a Catholic school, and they're like, well, he's got to take a test, and then you've got to pay money. And, like, if both of those things are good, then he can go into second grade. So, like, I was 6 years old, and then they're like, they gave me a test, and then they're like, well, he can actually go into third grade. And my mom's like, no, no.
They're like, he's ready for middle school.
my mom's like, nope, no, 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 no. Second grade is good enough. So I skipped it.
Your mom's like, how much? How much? Anything? Yeah.
And that was probably what it was too. So anyways, so I graduated early, but I started school in Mexico and then I started. And so that's kind of how I ended up in Catholic school. It was just for a year. Then I ended up back in public school. Then they sent me to, they gave me a test. I had high aptitude. I don't know how that happened. So they sent me to a magnet school or one of those gifted and talented schools or whatever. And that was all fucked up too. And then normal junior high after that. So that's how for 1 year, I ended up in Catholic school. And it was not good. Catholic school was so fucked up. So my sister's a teacher. And I remember in Catholic school that, you know, they would provide lunch. It wasn't like, lunch was provided as part of the tuition, right? So you had to wait in line.
Right.
But it was only one line for lunch. And so everybody, and it was elementary and junior high. So everybody had to go in line for lunch. And I remember I was asking my sister because she was bitching about, you know, some of her students in her class. And I was like, well, you know, when I was in school, I remember if you didn't like listen to the teacher and if you didn't like pay attention, because we have to go to mass too. If you didn't pay attention to mass and if you didn't listen to the teacher, like if you had demerits, then they put you in the back of the line for lunch. But if you did good and you went to mass, they put you in the front of the line for lunch. And the difference was, like, if you can imagine this massive line for lunch, if you were in the front of the line for lunch, that meant that you got to eat first and you had time to play after lunch. But if you were in the back of the line, you had to spend most of lunch waiting in line for food. And then by the time you got food, you had about 4 minutes to eat and then class started. So that's how they kind of punish you. And I asked my sister if they still did that. And she's like, no, that's illegal as shit right now. Like, you can't punish kids by not feeding them because they didn't go to mass. But that was 1985, so that was kind of the way it was. Or 84, that was the way it was. So anyways.
Wow,
so
I was just being born in 84.
Sure,
I'm just kidding.
Sure. Yeah.
But
so that's how I ended up in private school.
I actually went to private school my entire life minus one high school year.
Really?
Yes. That's why I'm all jacked up, man.
So seriously, I'm not gonna lie. Like, we always heard, like, when we went to college too, they're like, dude, you got to hook up with these chicks who went to the Catholic school, the private schools, because they're dying to, like, just break free. So you went to private school your whole life?
I did. That's so not true, dude. But, yes, I did go to private school my whole life.
What do you mean it's not true? What part's not true? That they want to, like, just go crazy and have fun once they get, like, into college?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I did have those friends who had those very, very strict parents who didn't really let them do anything. So the time they graduated high school, and it was an all girls high school, so by the time they graduated high school, dude, they broke free, you know what I mean? And and they, I mean, some of these girls I haven't even heard from in since, what is it, 20 years?
Really?
I've already, you know, yeah.
Do you ever 1999 you ever Facebook stalk them?
They're UK, and we used to say they're unknown. We don't know where they're at.
Really? Wow.
Seriously. It's crazy. I used to be friends with this one girl throughout my high school years, and I cannot find her anywhere. Her parents were so, so strict with her. They would only let her come over to my house. They wouldn't let her spend the night. She couldn't go out. If we were going out to, like, you know, other Catholic school dances or events or stuff like that, they wouldn't let her go out. And, you know, by the time we graduated, after we graduated our senior year, I have not seen her, haven't heard from her, nothing.
So, all right, so this is all in San Antonio, right?
Correct.
All right.
Yeah,
so is this
San Antonio?
So is Central Catholic? That's the one. That's a boys' school, right?
Yep, that's an all-boys school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What school did you go to?
I went to Providence, which is right across the alley from Central Catholic.
All right. So it was like the female version of Central Catholic.
Correct. Yeah. And then we had my freshman year, we exchanged classes with Central Catholic. So the guys from Central were able to cross the alley and come over to Providence and vice versa. And after, let me see, my junior year, I went back because my sophomore year, I spent my sophomore year in a public school.
How was that?
That was hell.
What was the difference? How did that seem like a difference?
Dude, so the difference, the biggest difference that I saw was that I didn't even have to carry a backpack. I had a folder.
What do you mean?
For homework.
Like in public school or private school?
My back wasn't hurting anymore.
From like in public school or private school?
So from private school. Private school, we always had homework. And I lugged my bags around, my books around on my backpack. And it was heavy. I mean, this shit hurt my back.
Yeah.
Big time. And then, you know, when I went into public school, all we had was a folder.
What?
That's all we had. All we had was a folder to carry around. And, like, teachers would sign off in the folder and just make sure that, you know, they just checked off the work that we did and made sure we got a grade for the work that we did and completed. And that was it. That was it. I just carried a folder around.
Wow.
And that was it. Yeah, it was very, very different. So then when I returned to private school my junior year, I was having classes with sophomores because when I went to public school in my sophomore year, I was having classes with juniors because, you know, the curriculum is so advanced in private school
mm-hmm.
that in public school, when I went to public school, I was doing junior curriculum versus, you know, my grade level, which is sophomore year. So uh-huh. when I went back to my private school, my junior year, I went backwards. But it was really weird, very, very weird. But, yeah, I ended up going to public school for 1 year, and that's when, last episode, that's when I got my first MIP.
I see.
Okay. Dude, that was fun. I mean, you know, public school was fun.
So, all right, so I remember from, like, my college days, it was the people that washed out, and there was a lot of people that washed out in their freshman year, and they washed out uh-huh. mainly because they never really learned to be self-reliant, and they never really learned to be away from their folks, and that, I think, is, like, one of the things that we're trying to work on with Emma, so that, like, you know, we don't want to have to tell her to brush her teeth. We don't want to have to, like, she needs to learn all these things. Granted, she's fucking five, but, like, she needs to learn self-reliance, and she needs to learn, you know, that, well, because so much of life, I remember the difference, like, I'm from high school to college, I was like, college is easy. Like, the material's not hard. Like, it's uh-huh. it's not difficult stuff to learn. It's just that, like, all of a sudden I'm no longer at home and I don't have somebody on my back telling me to do homework and go to bed. Like, all of a sudden now I'm all by myself and I have to manage all my shit all on my own. So, like, that's what the real awakening was. Anyways,
yeah, you have to show them how to be self-sufficient.
Right? Yeah. All right, so we're all over the place. How did we end up here? We're talking about me and the...
I don't know. We were talking about Waco, dude, and then we ended up in private school.
Watch Waco. Ruth is in Waco. She doesn't have that southern accent, and she's way different, really cool. We just...
So what's her role? Is she David's, like, wife, one of them?
One of, yeah. Dude, it's...
Really?
It's so fucked up. Yeah, all right, so... There's a guy, I don't know if he's on TV or just on YouTube, but I think it's called Adam Ruins Everything. Anyways, mm-hmm. pretty interesting thing on YouTube. There was an episode he did where he was talking about how the whole alpha mentality, like somebody was like, oh, I'm an alpha or I'm an A type or, you know, that's a beta and I'm alpha. And this whole knowledge, the story is like, this guy did this study about wolves. He studied these wolves that he thought were like in the wild. And he was watching behaviors. And he's like, he was looking at this pack of wolves. And it was clearly one leader of the wolf pack. And there was uh-huh. others that were definitely subordinates. And so he's like, he wrote this book in the 70s or 60s, whatever. And he's like, that's the, that one leader, he's the alpha. And all these other wolves are betas. They're listening to the alpha. And so in the natural wild, you have an alpha, and then you have the, you know, just as natural, someone's a natural leader. He takes charge. He's an alpha. And you just hear this terminology. And then, like, he sold his book to a publishing company, and, like, before the book was actually published, he realized that, like, the wolves that he was observing wasn't, like, a random pack. It was actually, like, a parent and its cubs. And he's like, oh, he's like, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not an alpha. That's the parent. That's the parent teaching the kid. And, like, that has nothing to do with, like, alpha, beta, and all that stuff. So he realized that he made a mistake when he did all that studies. And that's, like, the publishing company's like, well, too late. We bought your book. We're going to publish it because we want to make money. And so it was published. And so they, you had this initial misinformation come out. And then, like, all these other subsequent books that came after that are all based on a, like, a misassessment. So I don't subscribe to this. Yeah, this whole, like, alpha thing. I'm like, well, fuck, I can be an alpha. I can tell you to go fuck off. And I'm an alpha, so I can tell you to do that because I'm alpha. I'm like, that's not how that works. Like, you're just being a dick and a bully. Like, that doesn't make, just because you call it, just because you give it a fucking Greek letter doesn't make it good or doesn't make it acceptable. You're a fucking dick, you know? Like, ah, I'm an alpha. I ride shotgun. We go to McDonald's. Fuck Burger King. Like, no, it's not. So, anyways, but watching Waco, like, it's clearly, to me, everybody could take away what they want, but to me, it was clearly like a battle of alphas. You had the FBI who was saying, all right, everybody surrender and come out with your hands up. And they had a gunfight. And then you had the people, the Branch Davidians, like, no, fuck you. We're following we report to a higher power than you. And that higher power's lamb or voice is David Koresh. So, like,
David, yeah.
Yeah. And so it was basically like, in my head, it's like a giant pissing contest of alphas. And it's like, dude, that is like a clear cut example of how you not to de-escalate a situation. And then also, like, so one of the things I have a gift of empathy. As one of my gifts is I empathize a lot. Don't get me. I don't know where that came from, but, what I could tell is these motherfuckers were really bad at negotiating. The FBI, they were really bad. Like, the whole thing, I'm like, God. And of course, hindsight is 20/20. But, like, in my head, I'm like, you don't need to, like, bring tanks in to arrest people. Like, you don't need to do that. Like, you can just, like, you know what, guys? Everybody that walks out of this place, as soon as you come out, you're under arrest. But enjoy yourselves while you're in there. We'll see you when you run out of food. Like that's just, that's it didn't need to get escalated. But
yeah,
again, hindsight is 20/20. But it really did just seem like a big giant pissing contest. And it was also really fucked up. And then also I'm like, you know, I kind of wonder what would happen. Because, like, you had this and you had... Like, you have all these examples of, like, these... What was that rancher, that cattle rancher in Arizona that's like, I don't agree to pay taxes. So he had a standoff with the FBI, and, like, the FBI backed down and walked away. I'm like, you know, I would just love to see, like, some Mexican do that, or, like, a black person try and do that and, like, have a standoff with the FBI. And he was like, no, they got rights. Well, we just better back down. Like, I'd love to see that kind of play. Because that, and I don't want to get all political.
Yeah, the Mexican would be like, just kidding.
Like, now I'm going to go here to mow the lawn. But, like, and then, like, you know, seriously, like having that sort of privilege of, like, arguing with cops and, like, getting away with it. I'm like, that doesn't exist for minorities. Does not happen for minorities. Don't get to, like, argue with police. Like, all right, well, you're right. Just be on your way. Like, that doesn't happen. So
yeah, zero negotiation whatsoever.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely no negotiations whatsoever with it. But, you know, for for what it's worth, we don't want to get all political, but for what it's worth, like, I'm sitting there watching Waco, and I'm like, man, you know, the FBI waited 45 days. If that was a group of black dudes at a barbecue, that shit would have been over in fucking 45 minutes. Like,
hell, they would have called. Yeah, because they were, they're, you know, those black people already, I don't want to get all racist or anything, but they're already in their front yard barbecuing, you know? Yeah, so it's an easy shot right there.
I know. Like, seriously, like, or the Waco thing lasted 51 days. I'm like, 51 days? Can you imagine, like, if there was a group of, like, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, whatever, followers having a barbecue fighting, and they'd say, no, you know what? The police, like, you guys got to shut the music down. Like, no, fuck you. We're not going to do that. We're going to leave it up. And, like, a 51-day standoff? No fucking way. Are you kidding
me? Wow. Was it really 50? Okay.
It was a 51-day standoff. And
dude,
yeah, that's some, I don't know, like, part of me is like, wow. Yeah, there's like all kinds of stuff that, and the other thing I was telling Amy, like, so in their mind, in the FBI's mind, in the government's mind, like, the last time shit went south like this since then was Jonestown. Do you know about Jonestown?
Yeah, I remember that.
So what do you remember? That was 78. So, like, yeah, that was like the last little bit of it. And so, like, you know, that's what they were really trying to avoid and everything else. But, like, you know, seriously, like, can you imagine today if, like, a bunch of, like, you know, black guys is normally, like, having a barbecue, selling loose cigarettes, and, like, ATF comes by and, like, hey, we need to shut this shit down. And, like, no, we're not going to. We listen to a higher power than your God, than you. Like, you think they would wait 51 fucking days? And no. No, fuck, it wouldn't wait 51 minutes. So anyways, so there is a lot of, like, I was sitting there watching, I'm like, man, it is good to be white. Like, that is nice. Like, I'm not going to lie.
So is it like one show, or is it like three episodes?
It's six episodes, and it makes you feel like, you're like, yeah, you know what? It's good to be white and have a penis. Not going to lie. This is a good example of having a penis and being white. Where it pays off. At least for 51 days. After that, that kind of sucked. But until then, it was good. So, all right, hey, look, I'm going to do a quick little time check. We're quite a ways in, and we agreed that we were going to talk about a little bit about you, which we've avoided successfully. Then we're going to talk about the story, the teaser. We're going to talk about cougars, dating cougars. Because a lot of guys want to know about that, and then
I don't know too much about dating cougars. Though,
well, we covered the last
20-ish.
The last thing I'm on the board is we're going to talk about covering current events and so what do you think about this COVID? What's your thought about the coronavirus, the Ronas?
I think it's scary for sure. It's definitely scary for those who have underlying health issues. For sure. But, yeah. You know, I think, I mean, I see and I hear that COVID is so much milder than the flu, because we're not looking at the flu numbers. You know what I mean? And I hear that more people are dying from the flu or have died from the flu.
That's like, So I was listening to a report today. The coronavirus is like 5 to 10 times more deadly than the flu. It's way more deadly. But uh-huh. Also, I just found out today, fucking some close friends of mine fucking had the coronas like 2 weeks ago, and it was bad. So they were young.
And they were over for your fancy dinner?
No, fuck no. And you know what? Those motherfuckers are not going to be invited back in my house until like, they get like a proper de-lousing cleansing. No, I'm just kidding. No. So these people are younger than me, around your mm-hmm. age, and they had.
Dang. So they're like what, 40 something,
50 something. 30 in their late 30s. okay. Actually, younger than you. Now that I think about it. Anyways, they got. So one of them got, the wife got pneumonia in both her lungs. And it's bad. It was bad. It was like a 16 days to recover. And the husband only got pneumonia in one of his lungs. And the doctors think that they're going to be able to recover completely. But it was like they contracted like 16 days ago. So,
what?
Yeah, like it's a little bit.
How? I mean, were they out and about somewhere?
No,
or?
No, they're isolated. They're quarantined. They're not really sure how they caught it. They had like food delivered and the groceries delivered, so maybe you know they didn't wipe down the cans and stuff like that, or maybe they're not really sure how they got it, but they did get it. They tested positive. They have an infant like that's like not even a year old, and they're pretty sure she got it. They didn't test her because like the prognosis is the same, but yeah, it's pretty scary. So.
It is scary. It's very scary. Do you think that this virus has been around longer than what people are saying that they first heard about it?
So the if there's like a hierarchy of the coronavirus, like there's the general, like, you know, like in biology, which I don't know very much about, there's like the animals and plants and like the kingdom and whatnot. So in the genetic sense, the coronavirus is, yes, it has been around for a long time. That's the common cold is a coronavirus. That's why there's no real like, so the coronavirus has been around, but COVID-19 they say has not been. I do think that it's probably been in the U.S. longer than when they suspect. This particular strain probably did start. It probably did start in China, and also like I didn't like the idea of calling it the Chinese virus. You're bringing on like additional shit. You're just bringing up old shit, and it's like that doesn't help.
But now we're getting racist here.
Yeah, but then again, it doesn't help the fact that like. You know, this shit came from China along with other viruses that really came from like a lack of general, not hygiene per se, but like,
right.
What do they call that? Like, you can't have a restaurant in the United States without having being inspected. Like, you can't sell food in the United States without having like certain things being inspected. It's like that kind of shit, that lack of any kind of oversight is kind of what led to this. And so it's like, you know what? At the same time, maybe China should take some responsibility for having open, you know, what do they call it? Live animal markets where people can
go buy the market.
Yeah, live animals. And like, you know, you buy the monkey that's with contagion and whatnot. And it's like, they should have a little bit more accountability than like, yeah, well, we're not really sure. Nobody really knows, but whatever. Like, you know what?
Yeah. No,
fuck you. Like, clean your shit up. Put a little bit of, you know, over. Stop spying on your own people and, like, keep them from getting sick. Instead of, like, spying on them, maybe focus on, like, making sure they don't get sick by buying shit they shouldn't buy, like, fucking live monkeys or wherever this came from. So, like, anyway, so. That being said, it's kind of an evolution for me. At the beginning, I was like, it doesn't help calling it a Chinese virus. Again, I have a lot of Chinese friends. I don't think it necessarily has to do with Chinese people, but that government could sure. I like Chinese food. but that government should do a little bit more fucking, like take a little more accountability for their fucking, you know, shortcomings. So that's my thought.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's my thought. Oh, dude, so I did get taken. I went to a Chinese restaurant, like a legit Chinese restaurant. We went with some coworkers, and one of them was from China. Mm-hmm. And so I, like, we kind of, like, showed up. Like, we were all at carpool. I mean, we shot, like, what do they call that? We drove our own cars there. So we all showed up kind of different. So I got there first, and I walked into this Chinese restaurant, and they saw me, and they was like, okay, you go sit in that dining. And they had, like, two different dining rooms. And
what?
I'm like, oh no, I'm meeting a friend here. And like, okay, you can wait here. And then like, so, but they were pointing on me to go to sit in this one dining room where it was like all like Americans, you know, round eyes, whatever.
No.
Oh yeah. And then my friend got there and he's like, he walked in, he's speaking Mandarin to them or Cantonese. I can't remember what language. And like, oh no. They sat us in the main dining room with everybody else. The fucking menus were not even in English. I'm like, I had no idea what the hell we're like. It was all delicious, but
did they have pictures on the menu though?
They had some, but it didn't matter. I'm like, fuck it, I'll eat some legit Chinese food. I'm down with that, dude. It was so good. I'm not even gonna lie, it was some of the most delicious food I've ever eaten. No, it was like a lot of pork belly, a lot of vegetables, a lot of different chilies. It was Szechuan, or whatever, which I'm not a big fan of Szechuan peppers because they numb your taste buds. I'm not a big fan of those. But no, it was super good. And then I learned some customs. So apparently, like, they bring you, like, you order your food and it's all like family style. And they bring you like these ceramic pots of rice. And it's kind of considered insulting if you eat the rice. So you're not supposed to, and if
what?
You take, yeah, and if you like take one scoop of rice, they'll bring you a fresh bowl of rice. And apparently they keep bringing more rice. And so like in our culture, like you don't want to be rude and leave food. Like we're always taught to like clean our plate or whatever. So in their culture, like if you eat especially if you eat the rice, it's an indication that you didn't like the main course. So it's insulting to the cook. So if you ever find yourself
I did not know that.
Yeah, so if you ever find yourself in like a legit Chinese environment, don't eat the rice. Even though like your Mexican side is like, can I get some tortillas and like wrap it all up and make a taco?
Do y'all serve beans? Can I get some Chinese beans?
Can I get some Chinese
no beans?
China a la charro? Yeah, no. So.
So listen, there was this one time I took my daughter. So I'm 4'11".
Yeah. Oh, you
and
measured?
My daughter is like 5'9".
Yeah.
And I don't know how that happened. But we go into this Chinese buffet. And when we walk in, there's like, you know how like you're growing up and your mom starts marking the door frame with your height? And,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, how okay. So they have this little measuring tape on the door frame when you walk in.
What number did it start at?
Oh shit, I don't know, maybe about 4 something, but I was taller than the very first mark at the bottom. And we walk in and they take your wallet right then and there, you know, because it's a buffet, right? You already pay right then and there as soon as you walk in. And my daughter wasn't even, I want to say she was maybe like 14, 15 years old at this point.
Yeah.
And we're walking in, and the guy at the register says, okay, you kid and her adult. I'm like, wait, what?
He called your daughter,
like,
the adult?
How did this happen? No, I'm the mother. You know, I'm looking at him like, no, I'm paying for her. I'm the mother. He's like, okay, her adult. And I'm like, what? And we're both looking at each other like, what is he talking about?
Well, they probably thought you were going to eat more.
He's like, the price.
Yeah.
You kid and her adult. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. And he goes, look at the door. And I'm like,
that's what the markings were for. That's what the markings were for. That's awesome. So I'm guessing you go there at least once a week to get like a cheap meal.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Like, you're paying for me, girlfriend.
Dude, so my sister had a friend growing up, like well into high school and later. He was so short that he would shop at like the the young boys section at the he would get like designer clothes.
Yeah, Gap Kids. He would shop at Gap Kids.
Yeah, he would shop at Gap Kids. Yeah, that was basically it. Okay, all right. So listen, I gotta get us back on track. We're fucking rambling for 50 fucking minutes. So we talked about you. All right, so let's touch base a little bit on like, what's it like to date a single mom now? Like, what is that like? If a guy is meeting a girl. First of all, are you on the market now? Are you out like actively looking still?
Last time we talked, I'm not actively looking. I'm not dating. I think I'm starting to believe like shit's gonna happen organically. You know, if I meet somebody, cool, let's do this. But if you know, if I don't, then I don't, and I'm okay with that. So
yeah, so you're giving up?
No, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up.
So you're throwing in the towel is what I'm hearing. No, okay.
They may be giving up on me, but.
So seriously, Margaret, that picture's only going to last maybe 3 or 4 more years before you can pull it off. So, no. So like, you're not actively looking. Well, how the fuck can you right now? I mean, we talked last time, like, you can't exactly go on a date now anyway. So,
so we were talking about Zoom dating, remember? Yeah, like, Zoom dating. This is going to be some legit shit right here.
Yeah. So have you tried anything lately? I mean, it's only been a week.
I haven't tried anything like that. I haven't tried anything like that. But that would be like really cool to start some type of like Zoom dating. That would be really cool, right? Because it's kind of like you're interviewing somebody before this quarantine, this stay-at-home, stay-in-place shit ends, and then you're like, nope, sorry, guys.
And then also, like it's very little investment in time. Like people talk about like, oh, I love working from home because my commute's so short. Like, dude, can you imagine dating from home? Like. You barely have to get dressed. Like, it's pretty awesome. Like, it's a good idea. And you could, like, filter down, like, all the dudes. I don't know. It seems like a good idea. I don't know how feasible it is. I mean, I don't want to put myself in your shoes. But, like, it seems like it'd be a good idea. But if you were, so what, mm-hmm. We talked the last time, like, you like guys with a sense of humor, guys that can smile. Like, what should a guy look for in a cougar or in somebody in your, like a single mom? Like what should they be patient about? What are some of the things that are like off limits? Like they need to understand. Like if you were dating a guy and it didn't work, why would it not work?
I think you said it. Patience is really, really big for a single parent, dating.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have patience because, along the lines, the child eventually comes into the picture. And
yeah, no
I'm not the type to rush my child into the picture, but you know, I have to see like, I have to see what the guy's all about. Let me see you before I introduce my child.
What does that mean? You got to see what the guy's all about. What does that mean?
If he has, you know, the right qualities that I'm looking for, the right, I think it's more so the qualities that, would benefit myself and of course my son, because there's two people involved. Yeah. You know, I have my child and myself. So that's a lot of work for a guy to fill. It's difficult. You know what I mean? And they have to have patience and understanding a lot of the time, because let's just say we plan a date, we plan a night to ourselves and we go out on a date or we're planning a date, but my son gets sick all of a sudden,
or shit goes south. Like I have a 5-year-old. Like so much of our life can be dependent on like whether or not she's like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna have a mood, and like she has a tantrum. Like shit can get
yeah.
And then like, all right, well now it's not about me. Now I have to like educate my child on like how to behave and da da da. Like now I don't have a free night. I have to Yeah, Amy and I have talked about that. We've talked about, like, you know, if we're out to dinner and, like, if Emma starts acting up, we have to be prepared to be like, all right, well, fun's over. We're leaving.
Right.
We're going to go in the car.
Thanks, Daddy's, Emma.
Yeah, Daddy's going to pay the bill, and we're leaving. But no, but, like, seriously, like, we're not going to be a disturbance to everybody else. But at the same time, like, Emma needs to understand it's, like, that behavior is not acceptable, and it's got to stop. And if it doesn't stop, we're leaving. And
absolutely.
And then we're leaving, but so, mommy takes her to the car, daddy pays the bill, and we go. And that's it. Doesn't matter if we had breakfast, or if we're like in the first course or dessert, doesn't matter. Like the fun's over.
Yeah.
So that was an agreement. So the thing is, Amy and I made that conscientious agreement in the very beginning before Emma was even in the picture. So I think that's the kind of thing where you're like, that's kind of like when you're in the initial phase, you're like, look, here's all my cards. Here's like, I'd imagine dating a single mom now is like, it's an open book. Like, There's no secrets.
Yeah, you have to be.
Yeah, there's like, look, dude, like, this is the way it is. You know, my kid's got asthma. Every once in a while, like, I got to go home. And, like, shit ends. And, like, we got, or, you know, for whatever it is, like, a million different reasons. I see that as, like, just being a constant reality. And same thing, like, if you're dating a guy with a kid as well, right? Or several kids.
Yeah.
So, all right, so go on. So there's a patience piece. Yeah, go on.
So I think, you know, I'm not trying to, when us single mothers were out there dating and looking and searching, we're not looking, and I'm speaking for myself, I'm not looking to replace his father, not whatsoever. You know, yeah, him and his father.
So the father's always in the picture. Yeah, right.
But, you know, what I am looking for is someone who would be a good role model, you know, who will show him things that his father cannot, or that, you know, take him places, do things with him, be active with him. At the same time, you know, I'm watching this and I'm trying to figure out, you know, whether or not this is compatible, if they are compatible, because not only do they need to be compatible with me, but mm-hmm. also with the child.
Yeah, I can totally see that. And also, like, you brought up a good point, right? It's like, you want someone that's a good role model. He doesn't have to be the only role model, right? Like, people can have more than one role model. Like, he can have...
Absolutely.
He can have the mom as a role model, his biological mm-hmm. father's a role model, mom's, you know, boyfriend or whatever, like, stuff that's mm-hmm. a role model. Like, it's, you know, the more the merrier, right? You know, have five role models and pick the best attributes of the ones you like, what you like. That's like a you know, silver bullet kind of thing. So that's important. Yeah, I see that. Okay. So, but what about, like, when do you find time for what you want?
That's a tough question, dude. That really is.
Because I'm guessing most of your life, at least in the last 20 years, has been about making your kids happy.
Absolutely.
And when you start dating, you're going to meet somebody, and the kids are important. Don't get me wrong. It's a big factor. But, like, the point is of somebody that's dating you is they're going to want to make you happy. So what makes you happy?
Seeing my kids happy.
Yeah, but
that's what makes me happy. But, you know,
Margie, that's a cop out though. Like, of course it's going to make you happy, but that's not your needs. What are your needs?
No, it's not. It's not so much a cop out. I think it's more like, to me, it's a turn on. When you see someone that you are interested in and that you can be forever with, you know, having fun with your kids, doing things that you like with your kids, and, you know, y'all are just having like a great old family time.
I understand.
I mean,
But is that really, so let's say you have a kid that's, I don't know, 12, and mm-hmm. you start dating a guy and he's like, man, he's a great father. He goes out and plays catch with him. Like, you need that for about 5 years. And then your kid's going to be in college and he's going to be his own person. So, like, that's only 5 years. Like, when you're looking at relationships, so I get it. I totally get it. But, like, because even when you're, let's just say let's just say that you've been married for 20 years. Yes, your husband's going to make your kids happy. The fucking, that shit, mm-hmm. that shit lasts like a fucking minute. And then you're like, yeah, you're making the kid laugh. I need you to help do the fucking dishes. Or, you know, like,
Of course.
I don't give a fuck
so
that
make,
you guys are lighting each other's farts on fire.
My son and I will enjoy. And yeah. You know, let's do things together.
But like I said, yeah, do things. Like, your son likes baseball. You could give a flying fuck about baseball. And yeah, it's fun to watch your kid have fun at a baseball game with your, you know, your fiance. But, like, at the same time, like, if you yourself aren't personally getting enjoyment, whether it's like, I like going to plays, or I like going to this, or I like you probably like your own personal undivided attention. Like, all those other boxes have to get checked, but you probably, I don't know, I'm guessing. I really don't know. You know what? Fuck. Maybe after, how long have you been a single parent? 20 years, safe to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe after 20 years, you don't know. Maybe that's just it. Dating a cougar that's a mom, especially like if they're a divorcee, whatever, like maybe she doesn't know like what it's like to make herself happy.
You, and you're absolutely freaking right. Like, you know, and I've been asked that question before, and I don't know because all I have ever done was my kids. So you know, I'll go out with my girlfriends here and there.
Yeah, but that's
go do happy hour here and there.
Yeah, but that's just like, to give you a break. But you really, what you're saying is, for the past 20 years, your focus has been on making your two children happy, and you've forgotten what makes you happy.
Yes, you know, and then I feel like that's when I can focus on myself and do what I want to do with the freedom, you know. And I have my daughter; she's out in the military. I don't know if y'all got that, but she's doing her own thing. She's doing great. I think I've done a good job thus far with her. And I think, you know, with the 5 more years that I have with my son, I think I'll do an amazing job with him.
Well, sure. But that doesn't that doesn't mean that like you don't know what makes you happy now. Well, you said earlier, last week, right? People that make you laugh, people that have a sense of humor, those things. Because I would be willing to bet, like, here's what I think is funny or interesting. So your focus is on making your son happy and your daughter too. And your daughter's already off in the military. But, like, for 20 years, your focus has been, as a mom to two wonderful children, your focus is on their needs. And you've put in your needs, just like every other parent, has sort of taken a back seat. And I'm sure that's a very common thing. It's not, you're not the only one. So like,
it is.
In that sense, you're like, but now what I'm hearing is like, and now if only I can wait 5 more years, then I can worry about my needs. But the truth is, like, your needs have always been there. And what's funny is, like, as you were saying last week, like, I want somebody that's has a sense of humor, that's got a good smile, that makes me laugh. The funny thing is, just like, your needs have been to make your kids happy, I'd be willing to bet my bottom dollar that if you were to ask your kids what makes them happy, it's probably the same answer.
I know where you're going.
They're probably
going
to say, I want to see my mom happy.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes, 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 yes. My son, he's 12 years old. He tells me to join FarmersOnly.com because he wants to see me happy. Seriously. And I'm like, son, no.
First of all, mind your business. Second of all, thanks for the tip. I got it. Don't worry. Mama's got this. But no, I think
how to raise my crop, boy.
but that's what I think is fascinating, right? Because like, and then like you say, you're gonna wait you're gonna spend 5 years both after the same thing. When the reality of it is, it's like what would probably really make your son happy, even more than like you taking him to a baseball game or a movie and all those things, is for him to see you happy. So it's like, so like, you know, it's not selfish to put your needs, not to say that to put your needs ahead of your son's, because that's not it for sure, but it's definitely not wrong or selfish to put your needs or to elevate your needs or prioritize your needs. Because you know what should be told, Mark, like that's why when I talk to a lot of people that have been divorced, it's like, their kids are happier because it's like, well, fuck yeah, my mom and dad would fight all the fucking time. And now they're divorced.
Right.
They're not fighting. And they were fighting and they're taking out on me because they're resenting me because they didn't want to get divorced because they have kids. So, like, it's the same thing, right? It's like your son, your daughter and your son, probably what would make them the happiest is to see you happy. So.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I hear that often from my 12-year-old.
Yeah. Well, I like the part where you say I'm absolutely right. I get that. Don't worry. I get that a lot, especially from my wife. But.
Shut up.
All right. So that being said, it's been a while. Plus the fucking technical issues. So here's the deal. So I think we got something to work on. Like I think we need to figure out what makes Margie happy. I gotta start going through my Rolodex and find some single dudes. Last time I did this, it was like 8 years ago. And it wasn't until I got to the R's, and it's like all alphabetical, and I wasn't until I got to the R's where I found a single dude. But anyways.
Dang, I don't remember the P's.
Yeah. All right. So the story. We got to do the story since we talked about it. All right. So, So you and I were coworkers for a long time, and I have like my college friends, and then I have my friends from one of my college buddies introduced me to this guy named Bob, and Bob is a singer-songwriter, solo acoustic guitar player, and we started a band together, and so we were still best friends, and so like great friend. We did a lot of music, a lot of shows. He turned me on to a lot of music, and one of the acts that he turned me on to was a guy named Bob Schneider out of Austin. Bob Schneider is a phenomenal musician, local Texas musician. So, and every time you go to a Bob Schneider concert, it's just a blast. And he records all his shows. So at the end of his show, you can walk into the sound guy and you can buy a CD or a recording of that evening's show.
Of that show.
Which was brilliant in the mid-2000s, late 2000s. So
that is. That's awesome.
Yeah. So one day, I forgot what I said, hey, Margaret, I got tickets to go see Bob Schneider. How about you come with me to Bob Schneider? And I got some friends. We're going to go. And so you're like, fuck yeah, Lenny, you're badass. You make me laugh all the time. Woohoo. So we go. So I pick you up, and then we meet at a friend's house, and then we carpool to the concert. And, you know, we got like,
Pause real quick, Lenny, because I've never heard this guy.
No, never heard of the guy.
Remember?
Never heard of
him. And we were at work, and he threw me a CD. Yeah. Or you sent me some tracks of his. And I was like, oh, okay, I feel it. Okay.
Yeah. I'm down with it. And so, like it was like a Friday night show. So, like all things like work related. So, like, all right, you know, after work Friday, have a beer, two, go pick you up. Go pick you up. Then we go to my friend's house. We're going to carpool the show. Have a couple more drinks, right? My friend's house. We drive. You met his new wife. We drive to the concert. We go to the concert. We meet more friends. My buddy Omar. So, by the way, the two people that I'm talking about, one is Paul, who's done two shows on his podcast. And the other one's Omar, who did one show on this podcast. So that's why I say a lot of people know you already. And then we go to the concert. And then we meet up with Ernie, who was on episode 2, Drunk and Disorderly. Total gibberish. So we go to this concert, and we're having a blast. And we're just, and it's in a small old country, like, town called Helotes. Old country bar. Cheap beer. Really good.
Good kind.
Yeah, having the time of our life. And then we're having doing a show and everything else. So we get a little drunk, and then there's a part of the show where, you know, Bob's like, all right, this is a part of the show where we ask everybody to sing along, and we're not even paying attention. And so we're sitting there all drinking. You're gone off God knows where. You're ogling the band. Anyways, so then, then show's over. I buy a CD, and they're like, hey, we're going to go to an after party. We're going to go to this other bar. Let's go to the bar. I'm like, yes, more drinking sounds fun. So I get in my Jeep, you get in the passenger seat. I'm sober enough to drive, you are not. And we start driving to this other bar. And I had a BlackBerry at the time. And like I got the preview, like the text would pop up on the preview menu. And it's like, hey, we're about to walk into the bar. You guys on your way? I'm like, yes, I'm on my way. I'm responding. And then did we stop at
Taco Cabana?
No. We didn't do Taco Cabana yet. So we're on our way back into town, and they're like, hey, we're walking in. Are you on your way? And I texted back, or at least I thought I did. I said, hey, guys, listen, I'm not going to be able to go in. This bitch is way too wasted and passed out. They're never going to let her in, so I'm going to have to take her drunk ass home. Sorry. Drunk bitch in the car.
They won't let us in.
And so you were like hunched over, like in the crash position, in the passenger seat of my Jeep, just completely hunched over, like wasted. And you're like, "What the hell? My phone's blowing up. Who the fuck is texting me at 1 a.m? I keep it real. Who the fuck is it?" And you're getting your phone and you're reading. I'm like, "Who the fuck is texting? Like, you've been with me all night." And you're reading this text message, and you're like,
I'm like mumbling, reading this stuff. I'm like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
And then what did you say?
I look over at you, and I'm just like, this motherfucker. And I'm like, you sent it to the wrong person, Leonard.
And so the text, I thought I was sending everybody else that was waiting for us at the bar about this bitch is way too drunk, they're not going to let her in. I accidentally sent to the bitch sitting next to me. And I had to stop. We had to stop, pull over, get out of the car because I was laughing so hard. And I, you know, it's probably a sign I probably shouldn't drink so much. But like, seriously, I've never mistexted like that before in my life. And I legitimately, I'm like, guys, I'm really sorry. This bitch is way too wasted. They're not going to let us in. The bouncer's definitely not going to let us in. So then I'm like, and then it turned into like, it went from like, woohoo, party all night. We're going to the bar, then after party. It went from that to like, oh, I got to babysit the fucking cheerleader. And so like we went to Taco Cabana. Then I had to drop you off at home, get you in the house.
Yeah, no. So
you forgot your phone in my car.
We had the turning lane, dude. We had the turning lane, and the light turned green, and we couldn't even move because we were laughing so fucking hard.
It was embarrassing.
We were just like dead laughing, dude.
I felt, you know,
and then I said, you know what? Let me buy you a 99-cent taco.
Yes. Just, and then we're in line at Taco Cabana, and you like insisted that my friend's girlfriend stole your money. Like, that bitch stole my money. Where the fuck is my... That bitch stole my motherfucking money.
Oh. I couldn't find 99 cents, dude. And I'm like, she took my 99 cents.
Yeah, she took... It was dollar beer night. That bitch took my money. Goddamn fucking hoes. I was like, oh, shit. Oh, damn it. Oh, goddamn. Oh. Anyways, so that's... That's the infamous story. That's it. And you know, it's still it's, that was like 13 years ago. I don't know. It was 2009 probably.
Yeah.
It was before I met
like
Amy.
10 years ago.
It was before I met Amy. Maybe just barely. That's what
hey,
I was like.
And then I remember, you know, since Bob had recorded his shows, his live shows.
Yes.
I remember, he called me out.
So, yeah,
that
that's
shit?
The
he
best
called
part.
Me out?
If I can find the clip. Yeah, yeah. So then like, you know, 2 days later, 3 days later, I'm listening to the show, and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, Bob's sitting there, and he's like, oh, I see there's a new person in the audience who doesn't know the songs. And then we're like, I'm sitting there listening with Ernie, and you're like, is that fucking Margie? And it's like, and then you're like, I just heard of you today. He's like, oh, okay, you just heard him sitting. That's good. But I've been listening to you all day.
All day.
Oh, okay. I like to make things out of clay. Now, like, what the? I was like, what the fuck is going
on?
Oh,
my God.
So there's an audio record, and it's on YouTube. It's everywhere. Wow. So that shit really happened.
That was such a fun fucking night, dude.
It was a lot of fun, and
I got robbed.
You got
I
robbed.
Got out.
and the one guy who should have had your back was like, this fucking bitch. I'm never looking to let her in. Maybe I can leave her in the car.
We ain't gonna make it.
Ain't gonna make it. The one dude that's supposed to have your back is like, fuck it, we're out. No, like, because any other guy with any back, I'm like, oh, fuck that, we're gonna be there. They're gonna let her in. I'm gonna make them let her in because I'm an alpha bitch. And yeah,
I'm the Tiger King.
Fuck Carol Baskin. All right, so that's the story. God damn, Margie, it's been an hour.
Oh my god, dude.
Anyways. So this is great. We covered
hilarious.
We've covered a lot to us. We've covered a lot. I think we got the audio worked out better. You know what? We need to work out. You told me that. I don't know how to get this shit on to Android. What do Android listeners use for podcasts? They don't use podcasts. They use anything else?
I don't know. But we need to get on Android.
Well, what the fuck platform do they use?
I have no idea.
Well, why don't you?
I'm not an Android user. That's like,
yeah.
That's my past.
Yeah, I'm not either. So, all right, we'll work on that. We got to schedule another one next week. We'll pick up where we left off. I do want to continue on. Like, I think really you should. We need to work on like the, like what's the? We need to find you a man. No, I'm just kidding. I hate that kind of pressure. I used to get that shit when I was in fucking high school. I hate that shit. But no, I think this is great. I think this is really good. This is very insightful. I think the best thing we could do is for you to share your knowledge about like again, like, what is, because most, and actually, truth be told, I'm sure most of the guys are like, yeah, but like, when do they put out? I'm like, dude, that is so juvenile. It's like, it's that is so juvenile. It's clearly,
but no, really, when do they?
It's clearly at the end of the second date, but seriously, that's so juvenile.
I'm all third episode.
If it hasn't happened by then your ass is in the friend zone. So, oh, dude, we totally need to test your theory. My theory about, like, there's no possible dudes that put girls in the friend zones, because every guy, as long as they're single, of course, would totally bang a girl if they're friend, whatever. Like, there's no such thing. We need to clear that error.
Did you get emails on that?
Absolutely.
Did you get feedback?
Absolutely. There's no such thing as a girl in the friend zone to a guy. Guys don't work that way. That's just not how we're built. It's they don't put girl, like seriously, guys are like, as long as she has a heartbeat, it'll do.
I ain't got no heart. Sorry.
So we can work more on that later. Anyways, all right, listen, it's late as shit. We're going to call it a night. This was great. Do you like it still? You still having fun?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh, bitch. No, this is good.
You better say yes.
You better say yes. No, this is good. I'm really digging this. We need to get some maybe we can do some third party or some three-way, but not the fun kind, but we can do some three-way calls.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like three-way.
Gross. So gross. Oh, dude. I did have a friend of mine who did it. And he's like, dude, it was the worst thing ever. Because, like, immediately, like, as a guy, you're trained. So this is what's so unfortunate for guys, especially guys that, like, don't really mature till later on. Like, so much of their sex life is, like, the education comes from porn. That you're like, oh, that's so weird. Like, I was a pizza delivery guy. I was delivering pizza. The girl didn't ask me inside to have sex with her. It was so strange. And it's like, we take so much, especially when you're a fucking teenager, you're so easily fucking influenced. Like, it's insane the shit I was told. I was told that when you drink your first beer, you're supposed to spill some on your chin and let it trickle down your chest because it helps your chest hair grow.
Oh, my God.
It helps your chest hair grow. That's what I was told. Anyways, you listen to some dumb shit and, like, you know, like, obviously you think, like, the goal is a guy. I was in that movie Office Space. Office Space was on the other day. And it's like, what would you do if you had $1 million? Like, I'll tell you what I'd do. Two chicks at the same time. And it's like, guys have this notion. It's like, yes, I want to conquer all that is women. I want 2, 3, 71 virgins. It's like, they want all these women. All the time. It's like, dude, fucking one is a pain in the ass. You want two? Like, are you fucking kidding? Like,
yeah.
I have a heart. You really want that kind of pressure? Like, you know, and, like, let's face it, guys, let's face it, we're not even really satisfying one. You alluded to the whole dildo thing. Like, we're not even really satisfying one. You want to try and get two, bring a friend in the mix and see where that ends up? Like, come on. So I had a friend of mine actually do a three-way, and he's like, dude, it was the worst fucking thing ever because, like, at first it started out all hot. And it was like, ooh, this is cool. This is awesome. And then it was like, they did it, and it was fun for, like, you know, the 4 minutes you can expect anybody to last in that scenario. And then after that, it was like, so did you like her better than me? And he's like, no, why?
Yeah.
Like, well, because you were looking at her the whole time. And they're like, you barely pulled my hair, and you only slapped my ass once. And I'm like, you see, that's why it would suck. Because immediately after it was over, be like, well, so who did you like better? And you're fucking lying. And now I'm not going to talk to you for 3 months. You're not going to get any so that's why I'm like, at first, it sounds like a great idea. But you know what?
Right.
Seriously, who the fuck wants, like, seriously, no guy wants one crazy bitch to deal with after sex. And let's face it, they're all pretty bad. Do you really want two crazy bitches to deal with? So, nope.
Yeah. So let's get the next time or you know, whenever you're comfortable, we should get a third person on here, and we'll call it menage a talk. Hey.
I'm in. I like it. I like it. All right. So everybody that's listening to this, let's get some feedback. You know where to email and let us know if you want to be a, Margaret and I are official co-hosts and we can take on additional guests and we'll do a three-way. I love it. I like where your head is at, Margie. This is great. This podcast is phenomenal. Loving what you're doing. I love what you're writing. So thank you. I think we should wrap it up. Is there any closing sentiments you want to have or any other comments?
No, y'all stay safe. Wrap it up, mask it up, and just be careful out there.
All right, wash your hands. All right, very good. Well, Margaret, thank you. Wash your hands. You're awesome. Love
you. Thank you, Lenny.
I love you. Take care. Talk to you later.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.